This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. حدثنا أبي بن كعب عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أبي بن كعب narrated to us that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said أن موسى قام خطيبا في بني إسرائيل, that موسى عليه السلام stood giving a sermon to the Israelites, the children of Israel. فسئل أي الناس أعلم, so he was asked who among the people is the most knowledgeable or knows more. Not most knowledgeable, I would say more knowledgeable, right? And a lot of translations make that kind of quick jump and say most knowledgeable. The reason you can't say most is because it doesn't say al-a'lam, it's not superlative. A'lam without the lam ta'rif is comparative, it's not superlative, right? So ana, he said, I know more. And of course this means in the context of among these people, I know more, right? فَعَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, so Allah reprimanded him, إِذْ لَمْ يُرَدُّ الْعِلْمُ يُرَدَّ الْعِلْمُ إِلَيْهِ, whereby knowledge was not attributed back to him. This red piece is actually sharh of the hadith. لَامَهُ وَخَاطَبَهُ مُخَاطَبَةً مُخَاطَبَةَ الْإِدْلَالِ وَطَالِبًا مِنْهُ حُسْنَ مُرَاجَعَتِهِ وَمُذَكِّرًا لَهُ بِمَا كَرِهَهُ مِنْهُ. That's all explanation, so I'll skip that part. Okay? That's just from a muhaddith. In any case, إِذْ لَمْ يُرَدُّ الْعِلْمُ أَوْ يُرَدَّ الْعِلْمُ إِلَيْهِ. You guys just did mudaaf, I believe. I was hearing some مَدَّ يَمُدُّ مَدًّا فَهُوَ مَدٌّ. Right? So when you say الْأَمْرُ مِنْهُ for رَدَّ, right? So it would be رُدَّ, رُدِّ, and أُرْدُد, right? So the majzoom version, the lightest version, could be يَرُدَّ and يَرُدِّ and يَرْدُد. And that's why you find لَمْ يَرُدَّ. You see, that's actually a live example of what you guys just did. It could have been lam yaruddi and lam yardud also. All three of those would have been acceptable. Anyway, so as whereby knowledge was not attributed directly to Allah, even in that, and here is a moment of pause for us to understand that the Prophet Musa is not being reprimanded the way you and I get reprimanded. Like if I, for example, say, some obnoxious person asks, Ustad, who knows more Arabic in the room or something? And you say, well, Ustad, Adam does. No, you should have said Allah knows better. No. In a given context, you can say who knows more. And clearly he didn't say who's the most knowledgeable, he just said among you, I'm more knowledgeable. But prophets have a higher standard than normal people. And even things that are actually completely harmless for us to say, Allah will hold prophets to account for even those things. And this is actually a way of Allah distinguishing the standards he has for us from the standards he has for prophets. And this is the case even with our Prophet ﷺ. He is reprimanded in the Qur'an, he's corrected in the Qur'an over things that for any other human being would not be a sin. They actually wouldn't be a problem at all. The fact that he frowned at a blind person, for instance, and the word abasa means just a bulge on the forehead, he got frustrated as a blind person kept interrupting him in the middle of a conversation. And by the way, blind people are much better at hearing. One sense is gone, the other sense gets heightened. So he's fully aware that he's in the middle of another conversation. And the Prophet didn't say, stop, I don't like what you're doing, I'll talk to you in a second. He simply developed a bulge on his forehead, which is completely acceptable. By the way, even more acceptable because a blind person can't possibly be offended by a bulge on someone's forehead. That's not even possible. And yet the ayat came down. Right, so they're held to a standard that we're not held to. And this is an example of that. And if you don't keep that in mind, then it just becomes casual. A thought creeps in the minds of a Muslim. Well, prophets made mistakes. They kind of messed up sometimes. No. Hold on a second. They are still ma'asum anil khata. And we have to hold ourselves to that belief when we read the text of the Qur'an too. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I talked to you about Sulaiman alayhi salam ever. Or Dawud alayhi salam. Because you know, when the case of Sulaiman and Dawud comes up in the Qur'an, it makes it seem like they made a mistake. Like it makes it seem like Sulaiman missed a prayer, for example, alayhi salam, because he was taking care of horses. That's the common way that part of the Qur'an, Surah Sa'd, is explained. إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي. Right? That I, as opposed to remembering my Rabb, I just took care of the horses. As a matter of fact, that tafsir is rejected by some classic, because I could not, there's no authentic narration that says that he missed prayer, first of all. And second of all, from the text of the Qur'an, it's very difficult to just accept that at face value, that he took care of horses and missed salah. And it's even more difficult to accept that because just a couple of ayat before, or the previous ayah, I can't remember, he's awwab. He constantly keeps going back to Allah. Repeatedly goes back to Allah. So he's already been described as someone who, like, unusually remembers Allah a lot. And in the very next ayah, we're to assume, based on the words an dhikri rabbi, that he missed prayer. And you know why they say he missed prayer? Hatta tawarat bil hijab. Tawarat, what pronoun is that? Tawarat. She, right? But it doesn't say who she is. So they say until the sun disappeared behind the veil. And they assume it's the sun because it's feminine and the sun is considered feminine. The ayah doesn't say tawarat ash-shams bil hijab. Now tawarat, you guys just did sarf. What pattern is that? Tawarat. Ta'awana, isn't it? What is the feature of ta'awana? Each other. Is this, can you say about the sun, a single entity, each other? The sun with something else. Actually, what he did was, he was taking care of the horses, he made battle horses, he made them march. He made them mush. And they go. And they go next to each other, and they together disappear until he can't see them anymore. Tawarat is used for the horses that he was taking care of. Until they went off into the sunset, in a sense. Okay? And actually, the an-dhikri rabbi is I love taking care of these horses inspired by my remembrance of my Rabb. I'm actually taking care of these horses because they're going to do the work of the deen. He's doing this fi sabilillah. Hatta tawarat bil hijab. So there's another reading of the same text, which doesn't violate any authentic narration, except it violates what became very popular historically, just a popular interpretation. Yet it retains the integrity of Sulaiman alayhi salam, right? So once you have certain principles in your mind, like the integrity of prophets has to be retained, then the way you read the text becomes different. And the way you question text also becomes different. You know, we don't jump to conclusions about prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh, anyway, there's one more thing about since Sulaiman came up. So when the horses came back, when horses come back and you're a horse trainer, what do? You check on them. You check on them. And they make it sound like he was so upset that he missed Salah, that when they came back, or when he went back to the horses, he said, bring me those horses, and he slaughtered all of them. Okay, he slaughtered all the horses. And Imam Razi comments all the opinions about those ayat, you know, فَتَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. He began to masḥ, I won't translate masḥ yet, by the limb and the necks. By the limbs, the legs, and the necks. Okay? So the most scholars say, مَسْحًا بِالسِّكِينَ. He passed over a knife over all of them. He sliced all of them. These horses made me forget my prayer. And then the scholars got into this whole debate about, well, if he slaughtered horses, he must have done this fi sabilillah to give them a sadaqah, as dhabiha, as, you know, to give out. And because they couldn't fathom that a prophet would just, because, you know, what does it sound like at face value? He became upset and he lashed out at the horses. But, you know, when you mess up, and especially if you miss a prayer, you don't blame anyone else. Who do you blame? Yourself. I said, well, no, he just saw his opportunity to slaughter horses and give them in charity. I'm like, that's not what the text is saying at all. I don't know how you... So Imam Razi said something, and I could not... I don't agree. I read Chokhani, I don't agree. Then I read Ibn Kathir, I was like, I can't agree. I don't know. Ibn Kathir, ya rahimakallah, I really love you, but I just can't. My conscience is not sitting well. I'm going to keep reading. And I keep reading it. And then Imam Razi. And Imam Razi says, I don't agree. I was like, oh, go on. And he says, if masḥ, the word masḥ, means to like slice, then you know, what do you do with فَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُسِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ in the Qur'an? Do, you know, when you can't find water, do masah over your heads and your hands. If salat time came, you didn't find water. You know. So I was like, such a gangster, Raz. That was awesome. And then he says, and also when you slaughter in Islam, for originally slaughter is an act of mercy in Islam. So the way you slaughter is not by torturing an animal. You slaughter them in the neck. But the ayah says he sliced their legs. And then the necks. Why would a prophet torture an animal? Slicing its legs and then its neck. He says then, actually the horses come back after being exhausted. he pats them on the leg and he strokes them on their neck, which is what you do when horses are exhausted and you're checking on them. It's describing what he was doing. And it's completely consistent with the text. And you don't have to imagine the word sikin, knife, in the text. Like, integrity of prophets. It's not hard to retain. Just commit yourself to the text. You know? With all due respect to the other opinions. With all due respect. This is more convincing. Wallahu ta'ala. Anyway, so it's another example of that. He said, I know more. And this is sometimes important for a teacher to say. This is also important to defend. You know, sometimes students are acting obnoxious. Why aren't we learning chapter 7? Why are we learning chapter 4? I know a little bit more than you. Just a little bit. I'm not saying I know everything, but can I just teach you right now? Okay, fine. Sometimes you do have to put a student in place. You have to remind them of their place. And he had to do that. And by the way, he's teaching Banu Israel. They kind of have a tendency to get out of line a little bit sometimes. So sometimes they have to be told, "Ana a'lam." Just listen, will you? I know. And what kind of question is? Ayu nasi a'lam? What kind of question? You ask a prophet, who of the people is more knowledgeable? If you follow a prophet, isn't the answer to that question automatic? Isn't that a question you don't even need? And when a ridiculous question like that is asked, then you know what? It has to be spelled out. So he's not in the wrong for doing so. Anyway, Allah uses it as an opportunity to take him on a journey. And so, bala, فقال له بلا, لي, not actually not at all, لي عبدٌ بمجمع البحرين. Of course, I do have a slave right at the merger of the two seas, هو أعلم منك, he knows more than you. قال أي ربي ومن لي به. Yes, أي means yes, of course. And also another meaning is E. E and A, similar words. Rabbi, وَمَنْ لِي بِهِ وَرُبَّمَا قَالَ سُفْيَانُ سُفْيَانُ is the narrator. أي ربي وَكَيْفَ لِي بِهِ. Who is it that I can be with him? How can I get to him? Who is it and how can I get to him? Those are the two variations of the narration. قَالَ تَأْخُذُ حُوتًا. He said, go take a fish. فَتَجْعَلُهُ فِي مِكْتِلْ. And put him inside a miktil. Miktil means a basket. It's my notes. وِعَاءٌ يَشْبِهُ الْقِفَةَ. حَيْثُمَا فَقَدْتَ الْحُوتِ. Wherever you lose the fish, فَهُوَ ثَمَّهُ وَرُبَّمَا قَالْ فَهُوَ ثَمَّهُ. Then exactly that's where it's going to be. And perhaps the narrator said not ثَمَّهُ but ثَمَّهُ. Which is an appreciation of how sensitive narrators were. I can't remember if he said ثَمَّهُ or was there a little H at the end of when he was saying ثَمَّهُ and he said ثَمَّهُ. So he says, since I'm not sure, I'm going to say, I think I heard Sufyan say ثَمَّهُ but he may have said ثَمَّهُ. Now, وَأَخَذَ حُوتًا فَجَعَلَهُ فِي مِكْتَلٍ. So he took the fish and he put it inside the basket. ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَ. So then he marched forward, he went ahead. وَهُوَ وَفَتَاهُ يُشَعُ بْنُ نُونَ. He and his young assistant, his young lad, Yusha, the son of Noon, Yusha ibn Noon, which the Bible calls Joshua. That's the biblical Joshua. حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا الصَّخْرَ. Until they approached the boulder. So they approached this large boulder. وَصَغَارُ رُؤُسَهُمَا. This is سَغَى is a separate word, or it should be سَعَى, وَضَعَ, sorry. وَضَعَ رُؤُسَهُمَا. They placed their heads on the rock. Like they leaned at it and they just kind of passed out. Okay. فَرَقَدَ مُوسَى. So Musa woke up. وَطَرَبَ الْحُوتِ. And as he woke up, startled, the fish actually started, it got disturbed. تَحَرَّكَ مَعَ أَنَّهُ مَيِّتٌ. The narrator, or the muhaddith is actually explaining, it started moving despite the fact that it's dead. وَقِيلَ كَانَ مَشْوِيًا. It's also been said that it was roasted already. It was already roasted fish, and it just kind of started moving and... فَخَرَجَ. So it left. فَسَقَطَ فِي الْبَحْرِ. So it fell into the sea. فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. Then it took into the sea a path that looked like a mirage. I'll skip the... And it made a small opening, kind of like, you know, the wake. It made a wake. So this makes it seem like they were, in fact, the narration makes it seem like they were walking inland, and then it jumped into the beach. Okay? فَأَمْسَكَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْحُوتِ جِرْيَةَ الْمَاءِ. So Allah held the fish on the flow of the water, meaning the fish didn't jump into the water, it went on top, like a jet ski kind of thing. So Allah held it on the surface of the water. فَصَارَ مِثْلَ الطَّاقِ. So it went like a spear, like it went forward like a spear. وَهَذَا مِثْلُ فَقَالَ هَكَذَا مِثْلُ الطَّاقِ. So and then the narrator says, this is what a spear looks like, and he started kind of demonstrating visually. And so they say he did some visual demonstration, and they put that in the narration as well. فَانْتَلَقَا يَمْشِيَانِ بَقِيَةَ لَيْلَتِهِمَا وَيَوْمَهُمَا وَيَوْمِهِمَا actually should be. Anyway, so they both started moving forward. They went ahead, they didn't realize, the rest of their night and the next day too. So a 2 days worth, like a whole 24 hours worth of travel, they continued. حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَ مِنَ الْغَدِ until time came of the evening, early morning, قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ he said to his young lad, أَتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا bring us our lunch. لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا this is directly from the Qur'an. We've met with quite a bit of exhaustion. وَلَمْ يَجِدْ مُوسَىٰ النَّصَبَ حَتَّى جَاوَزَا حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُ اللَّهِ and Musa did not meet with any exhaustion until he had way past where Allah had commanded him to be. In other words, Allah did not give him any sense, any inclination that he's passed beyond where he's supposed to be. قَالَ لَهُ فَتَاهُ so his young lad said to him, أَرَأَيْتَ إِذَا وَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ did you see when we took refuge towards the boulder? فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ then I had forgotten the ship, the fish rather. وَمَا أَنْسَانِهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ وَنَذْكُرَهُ and none but shaitan made me forget to mention it at the time that the roasted fish actually woke up and took off. وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا now that I think of it, it did take a really strange way into the sea. What's ajab about a fish in the sea? One, it's dead. Two, it's on the surface, not under. You know, it's going, you could see it going. فَكَانَ لِلْحُوتِ سَرَبًا وَلَهُمَا عَجَبًا so the fish actually looked unreal. For the fish, there was this mirage-like looking wake that was there. And they found, both of them found it strange. By the way, this hadith saying لَهُمَا عَجَبًا suggests that Musa saw it too. It's not lahu ajaban, it's lahuma ajaban, right? And that further corroborates ara'aita, didn't you see also? Idhawayna, because the fata, Yusha is talking to Musa alayhi salam, suggesting Musa saw the fish take that road too. But Allah made them not remember. And then he attributes that to shaitan. Ta'ajuban min amrihi li'annahu khariqun lil'ada. This is sharh, so we won't go into that. Qala lahu Musa, dhalika ma kunna nabghi. Musa said, that is what we were in pursuit of. فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا So they retraced their remnants, their footsteps, step by step. قَصَصًا means step by step. رَجَعَ يَقُصَّانِ أَثَارَهُمَا So they came back, tracing their steps. حَتَّى إِنْتَهَيَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ Until they ended up at the boulder where they originally were. فَإِذَا رَجُلٌ مُسَجَّنْ مُغَطَّى بِثَوْبٍ مُغَطَّى is the sharh word. So when they saw a man completely wrapped up, enveloped in a garment. فَسَلَّمَ مُوسَى So Musa said salam to him. فَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ So he responded to him. فَقَالَ And he responded to him by saying, وَأَنَّا بِأَرْضِكَ السَّلَامِ And how do you people say salam where you come from? You just say salam, you don't introduce yourselves? So the man kind of was a little bit aggressive and said, this is it, this is all the salam you guys do where you come from? أَنَّا بِأَرْضِكَ السَّلَامِ And notice he doesn't say, وَأَنَّ بِأَرْضِكُمَا أَسْسَلَامُ It's as though Musa alayhi salam has already grabbed the fatah and said, let me do the talking. And now he's getting put in his place a little bit. قَالَ أَنَا مُوسَى I said, oh, okay, I get what you're saying. I'm Musa. Assalamu alaikum, I'm Musa. I'll introduce myself properly. قَالَ مُوسَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ Musa from the children of Israel? Musa of Bani Israel? Musa Bani Israel. Okay. Typically a proper name is not used as a mudaf, right? But you know in old English, I am David of Camelot or something, you know? So they use of instead of from. Like nowadays you say, I'm Mike from Chicago, like you know. You don't say I'm William of Dallas, like you know. You don't do that, you say from. But in old Arabic and old languages, you use a lot of. Right, so Musa of Bani Israel, قَالَ نَعَمْ أَتَيْتُكَ لِتُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا I came to you so you could teach me from what you've been taught in terms of uprightness and guidance. قَالَ يَا مُوسَى He said, Musa, إِنِّي عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ مِنْ عِلْمِ اللَّهِ I am committed and I'm committed to knowledge from within the knowledge of Allah. عَلَّمَنِيهِ اللَّهُ لَا تَعْلَمُهُ That Allah has taught me that you don't know.